Good morning, and let's call it order, and I'd invite the participants to leave the kids' table and join the big table, and this will be kind of an open, flowing conversation, and I really want to thank everybody for participating. It does get a bit tedious to go through all this stuff, and so I appreciate people maintaining their attention level. We've got three handouts. One of them is a comparison of the most recent criteria we used and what we've cobbled together for all of the discussions we've had thus far and some suggested language. The second attachment is B, and these are changes that we feel we couldn't really get into a format that would be a criteria level, but it's added information that's critical to decision making. That's fleshing out more detail so that counselors can add something after the criteria, some more critical thinking in terms of comparing projects. And attachment C are issues that were raised, and we just kept going round and round about them and didn't feel that we could really make any progress on them. And I think that we've already decided there are a couple things on there that we could move from one list to the other, right? That we talked about moving on to proposed changes to the call. So we'd be moving something from attachment C to B. That would be from the unresolved to at least getting it into the call or to the online application. And I think, Joe, would you describe those two, please?
Yeah, thanks, Jane. So number two and number three from attachment C, this was the request to break out and have two budget line items and two subcategories within those budget line items within contracts and professional services and then travel. And, without going through and testing it and seeing how that would work, I think what we kind of had talked about at our last meeting was having a text box underneath the proposal or underneath the budget part that would just, the proposers would be instructed to specify what they're going to do within each category. So if you're doing, for instance, restoration and acquisition, in that text box you would say for acquisition, our professional services will be, this is what that will consist of. Restoration, this is what professional services consist of. The travel, if you're renting fleet vehicles or leasing or something like that, and it's included in that budget item, then that's where the applicants would, in that box, say what they're going to do.
The problem with getting it onto the line items in the budget is there's all kinds of programming and reporting. Sandy did a really good job of explaining what the problem is in changing the box that has all the actual numbers in the budget page. And it would change a lot of programming, and there are a lot of consequential changes that would result from it too, right?
Yeah, and that's true. And I think if we had 3 months or something to do it, I think it would be okay. But I think for the amount of time we have to do the changes, and we know that this will work, and we'll be able to get the call out April 1 and not have problems.
And that's not to say that we couldn't do that with an eye for next year's call, to actually have it in the table, not just as a text box, but as a broken out quantity.
I'm fine with having it in a text box as long as we're clear on the instructions. I don't want to see fleet services as a line item because that's not what the question is. The question is, what's the difference between travel expense and equipment expense that's part of restorations. And so I think if we're careful with the language, we'll get to what we want, which is an understanding of what's really contained in the proposal.
Right. And there's the issue with DNR that the equipment gets folded into some of that, right, Grant?
So it's one of the... it's just one of the... pieces of our budgeting system where the code when I use a car to drive up to a meeting in Duluth, The budget code is the same as if someone needs a dozer to use one of the state dozers to pull out. Now, what I don't know, what I'm going to look into, especially based on this conversation, is are there additional codes that could be applied to differentiate those? My guess is that we probably could do that. We just need to know up front and that it's differentiated. You know, it's differentiated because that's we don't like it any more than you needing to say $230,000 in travel.
Right.
You know,
and it just doesn't look good.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Where are you staying? Five seasons? Four seasons?
Five seasons.
that's a shop down the road from me.
It's a special hotel with five seasons.
It's an RV shop, and it's right down the road. Yeah, sorry. That's where they buy their toys. That's right. It's a Harley dealership, too. So, yeah, sorry about that.
Well, but there's a huge difference between a roving crew's travel expense and a roving crew equipment that's part of the job.
Right.
I mean, one is a restoration expense, and the other is an overhead. It's not a bad thing, but you look at it as a total, and it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Yeah, it would be helpful for you to see really what are we talking about. It's in a way it's a. I mean, the system is a good thing because we're able to rent vehicles as opposed to
buying.
To buy all new stuff. But
right.
But just one of the results is this coding. So, but I can check and see what we can do for that.
Yeah.
So I just have a question on the text box breakout. Would the program managers then need to be responsible for keeping track of that text box separately, or would it automatically be tracked in the system like anything else?
That's a good question, and the way it would be set up now is it's just a text box that there wouldn't, if you put a number in there, say $50,000 for leasing a dozer, that would not be tracked through our online system anywhere. It's just all it is text.
Joe, I have a question.
Yeah.
If the issue is we can't proof the system by April 1st when the deal goes out, but it's a doable thing, can't we work on upgrading the system before the next call so that when we actually go to, you know, accomplishment plan 6 months after the call goes out, we just break it out in that entry system differently than it was in the proposal. And yes, it's a little manual work, but you're talking about probably 20, 25 different proposals where you'd have to break it out once, and then it would track through that way forever.
Yeah, that in my opinion, that would be doable. We would just want to be clear that when the proposals put their application in, that here is the information that we have to have from the beginning,
yeah.
So that we don't ask it at the end. Find that, I think that we can do that.
Does that make sense?
I'm okay with
that.
Then it becomes just more automatic, and you don't have to do what you're asking, which is this awful Google system.
That would be helpful to just be able to track it from there.
Ron, here you go.
Have it up front, do it, and know that it's in there, and we don't have to go back and pull it later.
So then, a nuts and bolts question then would be, you know, we're going to have sub-budget items underneath the budget line item, and are we going to allow flexibility to stay, you know, do those subcategories as long as the total of that, you know, travel, that doesn't change? Do we need an amendment request if those subcategories would change? So let's say the $50,000 for the dozer, all of a sudden we need $60,000 and they want to move 10 grand from other parts of the travel budget to the, you know, from one sub to another sub. Do we need the...
I think it follows your normal procedure. You know, if someone wants to move from position to travel, they've got to ask. That's accountability, and that shouldn't, you know, and you guys have the authority to grant that if it's a reasonable request. I question whether it's a subcategory or just two different categories that are broken out, really. We're thinking of it as a subcategory today, but in reality, it just becomes its own category once the system will support.
Right.
Yes.
We're kind of lumping number two and number three together a little bit. So number two, the split up is between restoration, enhancement, and acquisition, but it's keeping contracts and professional services together, right? Is that okay?
Well, David, why don't you explain that one? I think those are two different line items, aren't they? Contracts and professional services. So it'd be broken out under each one.
So you're...
Because we're driving at getting the distinction between acquisitions and R&E.
Okay, so so there's not a, there's not the first change to put them together.
No.
Right, okay, okay,
no,
good.
It's both.
Good.
Yeah.
And then the third, the number three then is...
Breaking it out, because equipment had always been included in travel.
But not related to the categories of restoration, enhancement, or acquisition. Right? Because we really don't...
Too impossible.
Yeah, that's what I would say too.
Right.
It's really starting to split hairs.
Well, you know, we want to split hairs, I think, to the extent where it makes sense, where you can say this is administrative and this is on the ground. You know, and all of these things we're talking about, they're not going to make or break any proposal, but it just adds clarity to the efficiency of an operation or of a proposal.
I mean, from my standpoint, if I'm looking at a proposal and it's got a great big thing in there for contracts and I don't know what it means, it's really hard to say this is a great proposal because I'm feeling squishy about this number that doesn't make any sense. But if it is a restoration contract, I know what it is and I can feel better about it versus I'm contracting out for appraisal services at an unreasonable price, but I don't know the way we currently ask for that information, what it means under those categories. And so the question is, how do we get to the point where we know what it is? I mean, that's all this is so that we don't have this feeling that it's uncomfortable to say I like this proposal.
So, Ron, just so that we can move along here, the unresolved issues is attachment C, and actually we're moving 2 and 3 onto the proposed changes to the call. So we're going to get those issues into the call, but not broken out in the budget matrix because it takes too much programming and there are too many numbers problems with the programming, but we're going to get into the conversation on the call. So you'll see something on your proposal that'll break out equipment from travel, for instance, and from R&E and acquisitions. So the unresolved issues then are 1, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And I guess I would just assume put that aside because we have enough to work on the other two in terms of making sure that the language makes sense. And we're just not going to get that done. We don't have enough time for it. So I think we should probably work through A and B and just go right down the line. And A, you have language considerations and you have point considerations. Right at the bottom line, you can see that we went from 72 to 100 points. And that was brought up by, you know, more than one person, that it's an easier number to just kind of intuitively understand what a portion of 100 is, just because it's the decimal system, percentage-wise. And we've added a couple of new things in there, too. And I expect there will be some, you know, vigorous discussion about some of them. And There's room to move on all of this stuff, and it's a collaborative process, so I invite your comments. Let's just start with the first box there under revised hearing criteria. This is a kind of a just a checkbox to say, do I understand the project? Is it well written? Is it succinct? And do I get it? Not a lot of points there, but what do you think about the language?
I like it.
I like it, and I would question why you'd have such a small point value to that, because it feels pretty important to me that I can read it and know what it is, and others can as well.
Well, and then the other thing to keep in mind is some of these things that you see following down the list, some of them kind of are complementary and are asked in more than one way, and they kind of get to some of that detail. But I don't know. I think we should look at the language first, and then we'll look at the points.
Just ask, so.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I expect to hear
from me, huh?
From everyone, but especially, yeah, sure. So if everybody likes the first box there, that would be our new number one, I guess. And the second one is breaking out the current number one, which really had two different basic components. It was, does it address the ecological sections, and then is it significant enough to move the needle? So that's broken out into proposal addresses, priority actions, and outcomes of one or more of the ecological sections. Mm-hmm. How well does it do that? And that's an important thing.
So
questions, comments?
You know, my question on this is, have we ever seen a proposal that
doesn't do? That's what I was going to ask.
Well, I don't think the question is do they or don't they, it's how well do they. That's where you get into the gradations.
But that doesn't ask that.
Well, but that's what our job is as counselors, to rank how well it does that.
So why wouldn't you ask it how well does the proposal?
It's semantics. We've gone back and forth a couple different times on changing things from statements to questions. I don't have a whole lot of problem either way. It's how well, you know, how... Some of them address all of the priorities. Some of them address one of the priorities. I'm neutral on the language. Whatever you think people will understand the best.
Well, if I'm sitting there, I'll say, well, yeah, they say they address this ecological section, and they address another one, they address three of them. And then the other proposal only addresses one. So do I give 12 points to the one that does three, or 12 points to the one that does one, or
you know, every year we get a menu of projects, and so when you have to understand all the projects, and then when you come time to assign the numbers, it's like, this one does it the best. And it's not like we're going to tell you what number to use. You have to have a ranking priority system in your own head that's defensible.
Okay, but that
would be one way to do it.
That question doesn't ask that, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it would be, I mean, so that's asking us, not the proposal writers.
Yeah, the criteria are what the counselors use to grade, to give a report card to get people into the hearing. That's what they're for.
I kind of believe it is very ambiguous to me.
Okay.
I've never seen a proposal that didn't fit one of these ecological.
And some do better than others, right?
I get that.
Yeah.
But that's... I don't know if that's worth 12 points there.
Okay. I want to back up for 1 second, and then I'd like to hear from Steve. I made what I think is an important change by calling the criteria, just not criteria, but hearing criteria, so people understand what it is. That's not an allocation criteria. We use it as a hearing criteria. That's what we use it for. And then after the hearings, we go back to our criteria, have more information that we've gathered through all the interviews and presentations. So it's a tool that's used throughout the allocation process, but it does not guarantee or negate funding from our recommendation standpoint. So what do you think about adding hearing? That's one word. Can we agree on that one word?
Yep.
Okay, good. We'll bold that and underline it. Okay,
Jane,
so...
Jane, may I ask a question?
After Steve.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to ask if it's clear to everybody what we mean by priority actions and outcomes. And I understand that for each of the members, it's going to be their own ranking, but I think for us, when we're writing these proposals, we at least need to understand what it is that you think is a priority action and outcome. And if that's different with each person, that's going to make it difficult for us.
You don't see that as being listed in the call under each of the five sections? It lays it out.
It can be. And that's where I just don't know if that is clear, if that's something that you intend to revisit each time.
You mean rewriting the ecological sections?
Not the sections, but what the priority actions within those sections, what the outcomes might be.
We're not doing that this call. They're the same as they've always been, right?
I would love to. I think that's maybe a future.
I do too.
I think that we should set priorities, not have just a full end.
Part of what we're doing this time is we have a very small period of time to get anything done.
Yeah.
So I've tried to, you know, sort through this and parse through this and make what changes I think are achievable in the limited amount of time that we've got.
So
it's not to say that it's a done process at all.
So in the meantime, it comes down to kind of what Ron was saying about, well, we all have our own priorities then in that list. And so
that's the process.
Yeah, that is.
That's the difference in having 12 different counselors.
So my question, which I think is from Steve, is it's really about outcomes. It's not about actions. I don't care about actions. I just want to know that it makes a difference when it's done. What's the actions part?
That wouldn't hurt my feelings.
Yeah, that's fine.
James, so is this the and Grant yielded the floor to me? He said.
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry about that.
No, no, no.
I'm no good at this.
So you're doing great. So
the call. It tells you what
I think
we want.
We can only choose one box right now, right? The actions. You know, it lists the actions, and I think you only can choose one action. I think. Used to be you could choose everything, and people would choose all 40 actions. They were unbelievable. So I'm pretty sure you can only choose one box right now.
Is that right?
I believe so.
That's an application question, right?
And so getting back to the question a little bit, is it better? Do you get more points if you're working more sections? See, I don't think you really should.
I think it might actually work the other way. In some, I mean,
less focus, maybe.
Less focus.
Sure.
Can you really do all that? You know, or how prioritized are your priorities? You know.
And what's hard with this is that when you go from section to section, I just real quick, like the Forest Prairie Transition Zone has different actions than the prairie. Okay, but our work with RIM, for instance, tends to be more in the prairie part of the forest prairie transition zone, so some of the actions don't quite fit what we're doing for the forest part of the forest prairie. It's just kind of a weird, same thing with the metro and same thing with Bigwood. I mean, so there's kind of a cross where if we worked in more than one section, we check whatever box is the one that best fits what we're doing, which is good. But I still just, I don't know how to get, if you get 0 or 12, you know, it's almost like, how do you get 6 points, or how do you get, and I know it's everyone's decision to do that, but.
But I would think, you know, the box isn't as important to me as what the narrative says about the outcomes, and, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, for me, if the only outcome is reducing the amount of parcel lines, that's not as strong of an outcome as somebody who is protecting native habitat for critical species.
Sure.
You know, so
you
and that's
the
where
box, and then you fill out the text box below it, and
right.
That's what you guys are going to use to judge
that's
the
what,
score.
So.
Yeah, I don't
that's what
like
I look
the
at.
Box.
I don't like that box.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
So we'll strike priority actions.
Yeah.
And move on
to outcomes. Yeah.
The only question I have on that is so. You know, council does have an ecological section vision and priorities.
Yeah.
Do we want to formally have something in the scoring that says that, you know, here are our priorities and here are the actions that the council has said that, or how they want to address them? I just want to...
I would say addresses priorities and outcomes. I wouldn't say necessarily actions, but
yeah.
Again, I think it's... I don't know.
I just want to make sure it's all tied.
Right.
Aren't we really saying the proposal will make a difference? the proposal's outcomes are significant?
Well, look down the line at like the third from the bottom. It's asking it in a different way. The first one up here is saying, is it addressing what we've laid out in our ecological sections? How well is it addressing that? And then down below, that's why I put one down below too, because our old one really had two different distinct parts to it. Does it address the ecological sections that we've laid out, our priorities and outcomes, and how well does it do that? It's two different things, in my opinion.
For me, I care about what happens, not how well it fits in a zone somewhere. I mean,
but that's the structure of our whole thing, isn't it?
Well, what
sections.
Our criteria says, in these sections, these are the priority actions.
Right.
These are the priority things we want done. You know, we don't talk much about restoring native prairie up in the northeast part of the state. So it's very clear on what are the issues in the various areas. But when I read a proposal, I want to know, I don't sort of think, now, the Northeast didn't have anything about prairie, so this project talks about prairie, I'm going to give it a zero. I'm looking if there's a chunk of prairie up there that ought to be preserved. How well is it going to get done? How effective is the money going in? What are the species that are involved? It's not, I don't care about the zone. I care about what the results are. I think that our ecological zones are a way of letting everyone know what we and all the research behind that think ought to happen in specific zones, because that's what's there. I mean, you don't have many trout streams, you know, in some parts of the state, so we didn't put them in. But if there was a trout stream that nobody thought about in the Northwest, and it could be restored, would I vote and say no, don't do it, because it wasn't in our criteria?
Well, again, it's one criteria.
I know, but you asked a question, and I'm saying that the ecological zones or sections are not a key element here. It's the outcomes of conservation that are concerning to me, and I would combine the two deals and score them higher, because it's not two questions to me, it's one question. Are we going to do good work? Is this proposal going to do really good work for us?
Well, then, what do you think about adding the second box and the third from the bottom, putting it back to the way it was, and saying it addresses outcomes of one or more of the ecological sections and likely produce and demonstrate significant permanent, etc.? It's pretty much what we have, I guess. I think the big change there was with enough effort to move the needle toward the target and going to significant and permanent conservation legacy and habitat outcomes for fish, game, and wildlife. And I totally agree with you that those two together are the meat of the matter. You know, that might be 25 points, whatever.
It would be to me.
Yeah.
It's going to make a difference.
So we could do that.
It's just my opinion.
No, if everybody feels that that's a clearer way of getting to, you know, where we're trying to get, I just saw them as two different things. Like, does it, because
exciting?
I don't see
is
the ecological sections as being irrelevant, because they are different.
Yeah.
And what do they address? If you're gonna the example that you gave of putting native prairie in northeastern Minnesota, there isn't any. So, and even if there was, it wouldn't be significant enough to make a difference, so I would discount it. That's not
but
what's
there. But if
there
were a trout stream in the Northwest, would you discount that?
It depends. I mean, is it even possible with the loading and everything out there? I don't know. It depends. Yeah, I get what you're saying, though. But so let's move on with combining the second box and the third from the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can look at 12 plus 12, or wherever we get when we're done.
We're going to have a scoring.
When we're done massaging the language. Okay, the third one down, it addresses habitats that have value for fish, game, and wildlife. It's, you know, it's a related question.
If you could bump that up a little bit and maybe say critical value, or in some ways everything otherwise would be. So
that's
critical,
right,
or important, or, you know, I don't know, something.
Most value.
Significant. There's, I think, just an adjective there that would be helpful.
And you like critical or significant, whichever.
Significant.
Okay.
I'm comfortable with any of them.
So am
I. I think it's the intent.
Okay. And then the fourth box down, change of language there, and it's the inhale and the exhale. The last time we did this, we broke all those out under two. We went to 2A, B, C, and D, and now we're looking at putting them kind of back together again.
How they can put back together again.
That was the main, that was the feedback we got from most people. Addresses habitats that have, again, value for species of greatest conservation need. So this, you know, strikes to which species does it really impact?
And just a question on list all such species.
That's new language.
Really?
Yeah, really?
Really? Oh, wow. I don't know. It seems like
list
some would be nice.
List significant examples of those species.
List.
I don't want it to become like a personal list.
Right. Yeah, good point. So what would be the good language, like the most...
List targeted species.
Targeted,
or something?
Yeah, right.
Nice.
Yeah. Targeted is a good question.
It is.
Yeah.
I like targeted.
I can just see getting a list of all the Latin names of different animals.
Yeah.
Careful what you ask for.
Yeah, that's
no,
right.
I'm not asking.
Well, this is working. That's why this is a good thing.
Do
that's good.
More points. Absolutely not. We'll take them away.
Hey, can I got to ask a question. I'm assuming this is in the constitutional amendment when it says fish, game, and wildlife.
Yes, sir.
I'm reading it right now. Trying to keep this honest here.
Okay. Hey, Jane, I have a question on that one.
Yes.
So there's many places that we can look, a lot of resources to find where these rare species are. Is there a place in this question where you want us to reference where we found the information or how we know which species are there? Because many different...
I don't think a site would ever hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good idea to do.
We could say that, too, or site reference, I'm trying to come up with verbiage.
So someone doesn't make up species.
Right.
There's a lot
and
of
site source.
Yeah.
Site
yeah.
source.
Provide citation.
Yeah.
Would that be, could we just include that in the instructions?
Yeah.
As a
yeah.
Now we broke out the mapped Minnesota County Biological Survey communities because that is a mode of communication that should be consistent across the board and should be well understood. Issues, problems, revisions?
There are two different layers available on the DNRs that MBS puts out. It's a native plant community, and then there's a native prairie plant community, and there's also a biological significance rating that goes into that. So MBS has maybe four different layers, actually, I'm thinking about. So just maybe saying which layer, which reference, because they sometimes they overlap very well, other times they are separated out on GIS. Just, I don't know if that just like something.
Well, this provides you the opportunity to pick whichever one is the most advantageous to communicating what you're doing. It's not limiting or telling you it has to be broken out. It's saying
and that makes
make
sense.
Your case.
Okay.
So
this would be yes or no question.
Yeah, I'm wondering if this goes into attachment B. I'm trying to figure out how we award points for attaching a map. Is there a qualitative component to it, or is it just we want to see it?
I'm trying to think of where that, you know, where we have the. Yeah, that could maybe we should fold that into, you know, the two-page map.
Yeah.
Point that we're trying to make.
Right.
Well, I think, isn't the to me, the question is asking, are you doing work in an area that has existing high-quality communities there?
It's more of a qualitative thing.
Explain why it does not include a map, unless you want to see the map. I mean,
well, but the way that it's written right now is, does it include a map?
Yeah, well, it's no, the map. I guess it's the, you know, the it's what's been verified out on the ground is being
there. So let me ask a question about that. And
maybe it shouldn't say includes. It should say proposal. I'm not doing well with my language today.
Bowser, if this was in here and you're going to restore wetlands in currently farmed areas, are you automatically out of those points?
Well, the communities, so they're altered communities on the maps anymore? I don't think unaltered communities, right?
Correct.
Aren't they? Yeah, so we, if
you a would res- be out.
Right, so we would get no points if it, but does it?
You could.
Go ahead.
You could show adjacency, though.
Right,
you show
that's my point, is that it just because this piece isn't, but this is, it's a connectivity piece to it. You know, are we trying to restore it back to connect that? But
I mean, proximity to it, I think, is important, but I don't, you know, if this goes in and damages prairies in the most disturbed areas, we've done ourselves a disservice. And I just can't, that will be a game stopper for me.
And Julie, in before 1.5 points out of 72, if we didn't get those 1.5 points because someone interpreted that strictly, it didn't, you know, it wasn't a, I guess 5 points out of 100 maybe isn't a big deal either, but yeah, you're right. We're
what
not
if the
restoration
rest of proposals. Are, no,
restoration is not gonna. You're not gonna be able to do it.
I don't think we should have any points that automatically skew.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was thinking of roving crews. I mean, which map are you going to include? Or
the whole
forest
state?
Work or
the state?
The state.
I mean, and that's going to be helpful to us.
That's.
So could we just say that there's existing something out there? I mean, I don't think that it's asking about the map. It's just saying that we're working in an area that is hosting quality habitat.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I was interpreting that. You were trying to find out if we're working on projects that have high quality or what the quality is. Some of these natural communities have been mapped by the Biological Survey. And that's what we're building off of.
Then we really have to reword it.
There's a difference if somebody's going to buy 20 different parcels in the middle of a farm region versus if somebody comes in and says we're going to buy 20 parcels adjacent to these existing.
Right.
And I think it's just trying to show the difference.
Isn't that kind of go more down into the selection? We talked about this last time, about how they go about, you know, their I mean, I think we tried to maybe get it in that, my gosh, use a science-based strategic planning evaluation, but I'm not sure that's what we got out of that. But how are they deciding where they go?
Well, and that's where I think when you're talking about, because us we have different science-based methods for how they select sites that may or may not include what you're talking about here, that it's you're targeting areas that are on or adjacent to existing high-quality natural communities.
Right. Yeah.
So if you can get at it by calling it science-based, but then you should probably help everybody by defining
connectivity,
what you mean by
proximity,
that.
Et cetera.
Right.
Yeah.
Somehow within and adjacent to those communities or something? I mean, if you wanted to add a few words to include what Steve just said.
So, if you look at the one above.
Yep.
Targeting.
The only difference between that question and the question we're talking about is one has a map. Because if it's a species of threatened or endangered status, It's on the survey.
Well, that's why it was combined. You know, it was part of
it before.
So the migratory stuff that might
yeah.
be. The map was just, it should have been verified or field truth or something. It's not asking for like a...
It's more like it references or considers or relates to or encompasses or something on that order.
Identify Minnesota County Biological Survey Committee. Because you really don't want a map, do you? Do you want
no,
a map?
No.
Yeah, that's it should have been identified.
Want a map.
Would you feel better about putting it all together again, all those twos into the one and saying its proposal addresses habitats that have value or species of greatest conservation need and or threatened or endangered species, lists targeted species, and relates such as relating to Minnesota County biological communities or outlines or something on that order?
That's,
is that
clear? That's how I'm going to score it, whether or not you break it apart or put it together.
When you split it, sorry, I'm talking so much.
No, that's what we're here for.
I haven't even had any caffeine yet.
Oh, brutal.
When you split it, it allows, if Julie, what she was saying, if people interpreted it and if a restoration wouldn't get points, if you split it, then that project wouldn't get the few points.
Right.
But if you lump it, then we may not get 15 points or whatever the total is going to be for the all lumped together, because then it's sort of like yes, yes, no, oh, 0 points. You know, so that, and I think some people, that's how they score. You know, you're reading it literally that way, so if it doesn't, I almost think it's better to keep them separate, but just doesn't cause much.
Well, then let's get the language right for the second piece there that refers to the biological survey communities. How can we say that? That the proposal addresses or has a direct relationship to or extends or what? That's the wordsmithing is the key on that one, I guess.
They are broken out by type of community. Maybe you could, I know like if you're writing a different type of grant proposal, ask which type of wetlands that you're looking at restoring. You could ask which type of ecological communities are mapped within the project area.
What are you targeting?
Yeah, I might make it more simple.
Proposal targets again? Do you want to say that? Proposal targets Minnesota County Biological Survey Communities?
Well, you want to kind of get at the quality again, right? I mean, are you trying to get at your, this proposal is really trying to protect and has identified those high, or wants to restore high quality natural communities. Is that, I mean, I'm just asking, is that kind of what, in your mind, what's important?
Yeah, that was the reason for putting it in there. It's a mode of communication that people understand, and how does this proposal tie into that?
Mm-hmm. So you want to hear from us if we're really looking at, or we're trying to include identified natural communities that are a priority for protection or are high quality, that we're building off of places that have been identified. I mean, as opposed to, you know, to doing projects that are.
I could say describe how your proposal relates to these communities, how that's considered. What do you think? Describe how your proposal relates to.
That's a call question, not a scoring.
Right.
Okay, so if that's the call question, then how do you score it? It's how well it does. I guess I don't see the problem in scoring so much. I've been able to break out gradations in these things in my own mind. I'm not trying to tell you what to say. I'm trying to generate the conversation so that we get somewhere on it. And I know that wouldn't work anyway with you.
Can you say it again?
No.
The proposal takes into consideration opportunities outlined in the Minnesota County Biological Survey. It does or it doesn't. It doesn't mean it's terrible. It just means in some cases it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing a restoration of a cornfield, it ain't there. It's not a killer. It's just...
Yeah, I had put down proposal considers and relates to or describes the relationship to. It considers it and incorporates it. I'm lost on it. I am.
I guess in the end, the question to really ask in the...
So
maybe it's easier for me than the rest.
Thanks, Tom.
The question above really asks the same thing. Are we dealing with species that matter? The County of Biological Survey is just
so
it's a fleet on the map.
Can we think about it a different way? And I'm just going down to that question of using science-based strategic planning evaluation. And actually, evaluation is kind of, for me, a little bit down further, so I wonder whether we can have this question, use a science-based strategic planning, and change the end of it, basically to say something about, you know, leveraging complexes, providing corridors, or existing, you know, biological, something like that. So we actually take it away from being a question on itself and use it more as that targeting. How are you targeting? Does it include existing significant biology? Does it reduce fragmentation? Does it? What is the targeting method? And so maybe just throwing it over to that camp rather than trying to make something important that seems to be maybe not there.
That was making more sense to me.
Mm-hmm. It feels better.
Yeah.
What she said.
Yeah. And then if that's their strongest thing, they can include that in the map, and they can include
right.
that on the you
right.
know how they're targeting.
Were you able to get that language, you guys?
Say it once more.
I don't know what I said.
Yeah, that's
so
the trouble.
You've got to tape.
Erasing that question of you know the mapped biological survey. Changing the one that says use a science-based strategic planning evaluation model, get rid of evaluation model, and instead change it to use a science-based targeting, and what did I say, that leverages or expands existing, you know, communities or reduces fragment, I don't know what I said at the end.
You said corridor.
Corridors.
Fragmentation.
Yeah. Something like that. But again, where are they putting it? Where are you targeting that?
You want to try to, like you're trying to figure out the synergy of how we're working.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yep.
Jane, did this conversation start with a thought that when we get folks in here, after we've scored them, and then they bring us maps and everything else, that we go, whoa, I didn't know this was going to this, or this is even better than I thought, or this is something, if I'd have known this, I wouldn't have even had them in here. And this map, Minnesota County Biological, I didn't even know what the hell that is going to contribute. Is that where the conversation started? Maybe we just encourage people to include maps?
One of the things we did is we're encouraging more maps.
Yeah.
That's right out of the gate. Because
that's not in here, though.
That's
in the proposed changes of the call and online application.
Oh, yeah, that's, well, I'm just saying.
Because everybody felt that way, that we didn't have enough graphic information to help flesh it out.
Well, that would address
right.
Billy's concern about, you know, does it make complexes or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, right.
We had a lot of conversation about a picture being worth a thousand words and showing us, how, you know,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that does tie in with that, certainly.
Corridors.
We had a map with that.
It's quarters.
Yep.
So it expands quarters, it complexes, reduces fragmentation, and then how do we tie in the bylaw?
existing or
protect.
Yeah.
Do you have something?
He's.
I do.
Excellent.
So, uses science-based targeting that leverages or expands corridors and complexes, reduces fragmentation, or protects areas identified in the Minnesota County Biological Survey.
I love it. Go ahead. Yay.
Amanda, did you get that?
Not entirely, but I can. We'll get follow up with you.
Okay.
So we get rid of the map, that thing about...
Scratch that block?
Yeah. And we changed... So we already changed the 1, 2, 3 down from that science-based strategic planning.
So we're incorporating that up with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big one. And I think that was part of the exercise that we always go through is how do you break it out. But
what about the 4 indicator species? Is that out too?
No, we haven't even gotten there yet.
Okay.
And I expect a lot of discussion on that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll tell you, I'm the one who pushed to get something on there that actually lists some indicator species that could be counted, or that you can actually quantify that what this activity proposed would address or would support a certain population. And it doesn't have to be 4. I put down 4 just because I was thinking of a game species, a waterfowl, an amphibian, a songbird, you know, something like that that has documented habitat needs for, you know, a reproducing pair. Something to talk about indicator species. And I'm not a wildlife biologist, and so I'm looking for help on that as to, you know, maybe there's one, maybe there are three. Something that says this is about fish, game, and wildlife, and this will impact this many. It'll increase it by 10%. It'll add 5 more pairs. It'll do, you know, it'll have this many, all things being neutral, you know, and not discounting any, you know, forces of nature, tragedies or something like that. But this is what this habitat would typically support.
I think, you know, one of my concerns with that is that the term indicator species is, I think, subject to a lot of interpretation and not clear at all. And so, I mean, if they're targeting a certain species that they wish to enhance, you know, habitat, I would say they should say that. But otherwise, an indicator of what?
You know what?
An indicator of ecological health, an indicator of ecological demise, an indicator of what?
I don't want to go back to what we already talked about. I want to have some numbers of species. That's what I'm trying to get out of it.
Right. I'm just saying that the word indicator is a problem.
I want something other than just acres.
Oh, I agree.
But this is the way it's written. It doesn't do anything other than say, you know, I've got 6-legged.
Yeah, I threw that in to start a conversation. And if
it doesn't talk about numbers or value overall.
Well, it relates to 3 on the attachment B. If you look at utilizing existing modeling survey, identify indicator species, and I take your point about indicator, this habitat project will support for which counts are available or for which counts could be performed. It's what I'm driving at is getting something other than acres and actually talking about populations.
Yeah.
And it's a big one, and it's a hard one, and I don't know that we're going to be able to do it.
Okay, but you're asking for 4 indicator species for which counts are available.
It's just language. I'm not in love with it.
it's to have a conversation and see if we can cobble something together so that we add something to the call where actually they're talking about what will this project support.
And sometimes you can count, you know, you can count pheasants. Sometimes you can count the species that you're targeting or you're going after. And I guess, you know, we would use an indicator species for like a bobolink. You can count bobolink nesting pairs or whatever it is as an indicator of overall health for a prairie. So it kind of gets back to, I think what you're trying to get at is getting back to the outcome thing and what's the quality of the outcome rather than just saying, I did 1,000 acres. Okay, you did 1,000 acres, that provides what kind of conservation outcome and how are you keeping track of that?
I think that's good, and it
we might not be able to get a criteria.
It makes me think, though, that also down with in that, because I'm looking for fewer questions rather than more. But performance measures clearly down that question. Performance measures clearly identify the specific plan for measuring, evaluating public reporting outcomes provided.
Right.
That maybe it should include there something on so demonstrated, you know, results on, you know, for targeted. Communities, or
sure,
something like that. I want to know more than acres. What the heck do you plan on doing with these things?
Yeah.
You know, it's about habitat, so we want you to build it and then come. But how will we know whether you've done that or not?
Performance measure clearly identified, including
targeted species.
So, think of room projects. How in the world would you answer this question? About going in and doing easements on 100 parcels that are connected to water.
Why couldn't you say this easement project or proposal should address 150 nesting waterfall pairs? Why couldn't you say that? It would
you'd be making it up. I mean, you'd completely be making it up.
Well, not necessarily. I think DNR's new pheasant plan indicates that they get X number of acres of grassland that will produce X number of pheasants.
Yeah.
But it's an average.
It is.
That's what it is. But that's something. It's better than just acres.
But what we're doing is asking people to commit to something. And that's...
Yeah, well, with the millions of dollars,
we're
I'm hoping they
to
commit
project,
to go back and check.
Project something.
Well, then let's ask them to project. Don't ask them for specifics, which is what this has done.
Oh, I
That's
would actually
fine.
Want
I,
them
I,
to...
I told you I'm not in love with the language.
I would actually like
let's
them
get
to measure it. What are they going to measure? How are they going to know? Are they only measuring them acres and all we get are acres? If they're saying with X amount of acres of habitat provided, we know that, you know, the territory breeding, you know, whatever, this is typically, there is an equation. I mean, there's population management
you
has been part of
that's what
biology
I'm
for,
say.
You know.
What if we said, can you project population changes in targeted species upon completion of this project?
Right. Right.
You just have to enter your stuff into some model, whatever that applicant decides to do.
I mean, that's a fair. We've all asked that. How do we move the needle? Did we move the needle? Did we move the needle? Well, sometimes we mean, are there more bobolinks in the air?
Are there more critters?
More
right.
than acres.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, you can assume some acres
for
a while.
But what
does
it equate to?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty safe assumption.
Identify targeted species and projected increase.
So if I could just say, I mean, something to, I very much appreciate the movement towards an outcome metric. I guess I think that it would be helpful to have a bigger conversation with more, more folks at the table to talk about potential implications of going in a number of different directions. So, I mean, DNR manages populations across the state. We don't manage populations of various species within a WMA or within an SMA or anything like that. And so putting number estimates on paper, could lead to the expectation, well, you're monitoring them site site by site, which is something that is not as useful when you're managing wildlife and fisheries populations across the entire state. So I think the direction is really good. I just think we need to, it'll be important to be thoughtful about how it's rolled out, because it could have implications beyond just these projects.
Okay, it raises a point.
What if we
kept the big picture in mind too? I think there are goals for amount of acres of grasslands in Minnesota, and how does this project add to that goal? Again, you're talking acres, but that's to his point, you know, DNR doesn't count the presence in each and every wildlife management area, blah, blah, blah. And ducks, I mean, they're passing through or not passing through. So I
want to get the conversation a routine part of our process.
Yes.
And that's not saying that we have a hard count in mind, but I think it's high time that we start talking about it. And if we just get it in the call to describe it in some way, that's fine. But and then we can ask people, do you have any idea how many pairs this could impact? I don't think that's unfair.
I think talking about it in terms of goals is great. I'm completely in support of what's the goal of this project. What I don't want to do is get to the point where we're asking everyone to go out as part of the proposal and measure the success on every parcel and report back.
Right.
Because now we're a research organization, not a...
But it could be 10 years from now, too. How do you...
Right.
What are you going to go back and make
Well, see, this is the style that I have in drafting language. I throw a bunch of language out there, and then you can beat it up and extract what really makes sense. So please don't misunderstand me. I don't have a hard, fast language in mind. It's to get the conversation going and to get it in the call somehow.
I don't know. I'm just confused, maybe. Maybe just don't know enough, but I think with every proposal, one of the questions is, you know, are they going to maintain... measure. So I'm having a hard time understanding why it would be difficult. I don't think it has to be conducting a scientific survey, but I think if our goal is habitat for fish, wildlife, etc., I think it's the one thing that's been missing so far. I got to say, when I read those evaluations, looks like all kinds of activities are happening, and I have no idea what any of it means, because I'm not being told. And I think that's the biggest shortcoming so far of everything that's been done, is that we haven't been able to communicate much besides acres and pilt taxes.
Right.
And so give us something. And I don't want to hear that you only, you know, you manage to everything, because of course you do. But in that, there's all kinds of things you can describe about what is it actually going to produce. It is going to produce more habitat, and that equates to X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And I think we can use, you know, some of the accepted models to be able to give those kinds of objections, because... I think what you want is just, let's kind of get to the bang for the buck idea. You want to know what the yield is
right
on when you make the investment in this site.
Yeah, I want bushels per acre.
Outcomes.
I want bushels per acre.
But
you're not growing corn.
Pardon?
I said, but you're not growing corn.
Right.
I understand.
I think along with that, we have to have the understanding that nature takes its course.
Yes.
Right.
And you know, so you did a restoration one time that was targeting, you know, teal. And you know, as time goes on, it changes, and it changes to a deeper pool or a, you know, a shallow, who knows what. And okay, because guess what? Nature changes. But you started out trying to do something.
So if I can clarify, I'm not saying that we shouldn't eventually go in this direction. I guess I'm just saying I think we should be. I think this deserves a sort of a bigger thought process and conversation to figure out what are we going to do, what models are going to be used, what do those models mean, what don't they mean, really clear with ourselves and with you and with the legislature and with the public what
we're doing. I think that's squarely the proposer's job. That's what I'm asking the proposer to do, is tell me what they're measuring and how, and sell it that way. So that does not mean we're going to have it all figured out as to exactly what we want to hear. We want the proposer to tell us what makes sense in terms of production. What makes sense in terms of production? And pick your poison, pick your science, pick your species. Tell us something other than acres. What is this going to support? That's not uncommon. That should be in everybody's vocabulary that's at the table. And you know, if we wait to have a full-blown discussion and have it all sausaged and blown and, you know, detailed out, we're never going to do it. Never. Because there will be all kinds of different ways of coming at it. That doesn't mean we have a foregone conclusion on what should be presented. You tell us. And your stream AMAs, what would this protect? You know, if it's brook trout, it could potentially have, you know, this much increase or this many, you know, this much production. In a prairie, there were some other sparrows that you'd pick something.
Some of this is already available.
Yeah.
Trout stream improvements, they go from, there's two trout per mile, so now there's 200 or whatever it is.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
But this
about.
Does speak to, I think, a frustration we all share, which brings up one of my pet ideas from a couple years ago, was that we all would adopt a watershed and survey it for the critters that are there and the habitats that are there, and then undertake projects in that watershed, and then you could measure later how you change the world in as far as water quality, abundance of wild critters, you name it. And I still think someday we ought to do that, because then we could show Minnesota and the world what good conservation does to a watershed. Anyway,
So, Jane, on specific to the question with the four indicator species.
Yep.
So, and getting back to something that David wondered a little bit with RIM. So, we, depending on the project, whether it's wild rice or A-cub or buffers or RIM wetlands, we restore and protect habitat, and with general species in mind. So if we're, you know, whatever, let's say we're working on prairie chickens, well, we're going to make sure we restore stuff and plant really low-growing, you know, vegetation. Or if we're out in the middle of the prairie and we're focusing on songbirds and duck nesting habitat and monarchs and frogs and whatever else, then that's how we're doing the hydrology and restoring the site, like all of us do. And so I think proposal identifies, leave the four indicator out, but proposal identifies species as habitat. I mean, RIM wetlands, and we're focused on the prairie, we'll talk about grassland species, we'll talk about migratory songbirds, we'll talk about waterfowl, we can explain what we're aiming at. Now, like Julie said, I don't want to say teal and then not let a mallard land on the wetland, or if there's only mallards on, then we fail. Well, no, it's the concept of the habitat.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't want to say we're going to do RIM wetlands out in the prairies, and we're planning on planting 100 acres of blue spruce out in the prairie, because we want to try to bring the spruce grouse down into Rock County or something. It's like, oh my God, don't fund this. This is crazy, you know. So it has to tie. But and just one quick last thing is that if you guys remember from a long time ago, Fish and Wildlife helped us develop that habit model, and the indicator species thing that you're hitting on is good, because in that model they picked indicator species, like, you know, whatever, a certain duck or a certain grassland bird or a certain frog or whatever, and that's how their models work, and it's a surrogate for all grassland birds,
that's
or
right.
all ducks, so or right. all frogs or whatever, but for us to, you know, but so we use that, and that maybe gets down to a further question that Julie was talking about, how do we target and how do we measure and those kind of things,
right.
but for this item, I mean, I think it's good for someone to tell you what general habitat and general species are they talking about.
And what, how much this would ideally support or typically support.
Sure, sure. And we can provide some of that where the science is there. The challenge, of course, is that, you know, especially because we deal with so many migratory species, you know, if the duck population
yeah.
is
yeah.
down, did we fail because
yeah.
we
right.
did another
right.
10,000 acres of rim? God, if we had only not done those 10,000 acres
right.
of rim, then the duck population wouldn't have decreased. Well, has a little more...
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, we don't have that much control
yeah.
over
yeah.
stuff, you know.
Well,
so.
The other thing I'm sitting here wondering, because I support the concept. I mean, I think it's great to talk about this is what we expect in terms of, how does this fit with acquisition? Because restoration, you're looking at how do I create more Mississippi Northwoods or the Blandon property, how are you going to quantify what not having it destroyed, to what level of destruction is benefiting species? From an answer to the question. I mean, we all inherently know that if you've got 10,000 acres and you keep it from being fragmented, it's a good thing. But it also...
So quantify it. This would typically support this many deer. This
we know what exists right now.
Yeah. This is protecting for this many populations.
How would you answer that question for the land and project?
I would pick a mammal. I would pick a grouse and say these are typical counts that this habitat provides supports.
And
I think
without
that's
it,
the easiest
it's at
one.
Risk. There's
I think that's
threat.
The easiest one to answer.
Yeah, it would be no different if you... going to develop this forest
right.
or whether you just preserved the forest that was there.
Well, see,
Moose needs this.
If we're talking about, you know, out in the jack pine areas where you're going to plant potatoes, I think that's pretty easy. I think if you're talking about something that would see a level of development that is somewhere in between, it's a whole lot more difficult to quantify. How many less deer are there if you put a cabin every 20 acres than if you don't have a cabin every 20 acres?
Well, and then there are species that live really well with
I'm
housing.
Just using it as an example.
Yeah.
I
don't have a definition in mind. That's what I want to hear from them.
Well, I also think that's part of the reason why we're asking them to do this is you have to justify it to us, actually. And
right.
And if it's just keeping what's on place, that's good enough for me if it's great habitat.
That's exactly
and it's good thing. Enough for me. I don't want to ding someone in terms of you don't get any points because you're just protecting to keep it from being destroyed so
no,
we have
I don't
to
think
restore
that, I don't
it.
Think that's
more points.
It's less expensive than restoring.
I'm just asking the question, how do we make sure we're not
penalizing
anybody?
I don't think that disadvantages anybody.
And actually, the DNR Forestry Department has done a really good job, along with the Forest Service and the University of Minnesota, of looking at what amount of disturbance does have impacts on at least, you know, the watersheds, including the stream habitat. I don't know what they do there as far as, you know, the birds or whatever are mostly connected to the water world, but there's good data on there.
Okay, so let's we've got to move along here. Do we want to have a criteria, or do we want to fold that into a criteria somehow, or do we want to, in the call, say, identify modeling surveys and identify some species that your project would typically or ideally support?
What you want a number.
Yeah, and give us some numbers. Right. I think it's worth a try and see what we get. if we don't have a criteria, nobody's going to be hurt by it. Mm-hmm. At least we start the conversation then.
I agree.
Yeah, this isn't a knockout round anyhow. This
right.
is just the project in the right direction.
And if it doesn't work, we can take
change.
It off next
time. Right, right.
Change it.
Okay.
Did you guys talk about number of characters in text boxes? Because I could see as we get into some of this, when I only have 50 words, it's going to be one hell of a run-on sentence with no commas and no anything so I can answer these questions. But, I mean, I know we don't want to give everyone 1,000 words because the proposal will be this long, you know, but...
That's a staff question.
So, I mean, we need to make sure we look at that a little bit because as we either as we combine or these are all great conversations, but it's going to take me more than a couple sentences to explain what you want me to explain.
We'll make sure that...
Yeah, okay.
Oh, boy, this is a mess.
So what's the consensus here?
I guess the consensus, what I hear, is this should not be a separate criteria, but we want it in the call somehow to identify models that name what this habitat would support in populations there too, you know?
And the criteria is, does the application address and make understandable the effect this will have on different populations of fish game and wildlife, or whatever. Fish game or wildlife.
So you want a criteria to go along with it?
Well, I don't think you can ask the question and then not have a criteria.
Well, that's what we're doing in a lot of this stuff.
I mean, if you just take four indicators out, Jane, and both identify species as habitat will support for which counts are available, I mean, I think it would be something good for you guys to know. And again, I still think you need to go back, you know, later on when you get the question Julie talked about the measures and stuff. I mean, it still has to be tied to something.
Okay.
That's the reason to go with it.
Okay.
I think it's a...
My hopes were dashed, and now they're raised again.
I think it's important for us to tell you what we're trying to focus on.
No, we're taking out indicator. Identify species the habitat will support. Or do you want some qualifier
for
the species?
Maybe I'm wrong about indicators. That's like what habit uses, if that's the nomenclature.
Let's put it in for now.
I think it's the number of indicator species versus the just indicators.
Right.
Okay. Identify species.
Projected something.
And yeah.
Or what?
Proposal identifies indicator species the habitat will support and provides counts.
Oh.
Could the language be something like what typically supports?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
As opposed to actual counts.
Yeah.
That work.
Will typically support. Proposal identifies indicator species this habitat will typically support.
Indicator versus target?
Yeah, indicator.
We went.
Indicator species this habitat will
typically support.
Work.
Is expected to support.
So I'm sorry. So I guess I'm fine with will support, but just for the if you're doing a asking for a number, then just say something like habitat would typically support this number of these indicator species.
Right.
And cite what source you're using to come up with that.
Sure.
Yeah, we don't want to just identify the species. We want to identify the species and quantity.
Right. Species and quantity. Proposal identifies indicator species and quantities this habitat will typically support.
I hate to add one more wrinkle, but you could either have quantity that typically would be found on this acreage of habitat, or
that
quantity that would be added or changed, if that makes sense.
Well, it's this project.
Okay.
I think that gets there.
Okay.
We're not going to beat anybody up. Or language, I think it gets the.
As long as you're comfortable with it, that's fine.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
Okay. Are you good?
Could I have that one more time?
Proposal identifies indicator species and quantities
this habitat will typically support? No. Support, period.
I'm happy.
Yep.
So the council members are expecting that they will get something here that says we are targeting Mallard, and we believe if we do, if you fund our proposal, we are going to produce 500 new pairs of Mallards. Is that what you're looking for?
I think that's, they can answer that.
Yeah.
They know how many average nests are per acre of swamp or whatever.
Yeah. And
we
if
didn't
it's
say species. We said species, so it doesn't have to just be Mallards.
Right.
Right.
Just give it a, like Jane said, just give it a try.
Right.
We all want to see that move the needle bottom line.
Right.
Done.
Okay. That was a sticky one, and I appreciate it, getting through it. The third current criteria is the habitat project done as soon as possible. That's the urgency factor. And we just said degree of timing or opportunistic and urgency.
Here's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Because they say, they'll say, hey, we only got 1% of our native prairie left, so we've got to get this one. And fine. But what I really want to know is if you can't restore or acquire that wetland or restore it, is it going to be a suburb here tomorrow, or what's going to happen? That's the urgency I need to know. And that usually doesn't come out until they're here, or if at all.
Yeah. So I think that requires your acumen as a counselor to figure that out and give them a number.
No. They've got to. Why couldn't they tell me if we don't get this project done by next year, we're pretty assured that it's going to be something sold or something else.
I fully expect to hear that from the proposer.
Why can't it be answered in the criteria?
It is. It is.
Not the way they ask it. Not the way that's asked, I don't think. But
I just think we can ask the question.
Okay, so what would you say?
If this project is delayed or something, no. What's the danger of this project not being completed if it's not approved? Something to that effect. Are there threatening?
Does it matter if it isn't done right away?
Yeah, mm-hmm. There you go.
You want to just say that? How much it matters if it isn't done right away?
Yes. That's what
does
we're
it matter if it isn't done right away?
Yeah. But that's a yes or no. So we want a degree there. Okay. Does it? Okay. Does it matter if not done right away? I thought that's what you said.
I did, but I was agreeing with you. It's okay to be.
Okay.
You can change it. I'm cool with that.
I'm cool with what you said too.
Can't,
I don't care.
Can't
I get it, I get there anyway.
In there that talks about it, you know, describe the urgency.
Yeah.
Because some things aren't necessarily timing is the issue. It's whether or not there's an urgent need.
Yeah. Describe the urgency for this. That would be a good one.
Okay, describe the urgency.
And I don't want to hear, well, our prairies are disappearing. I need more than that.
Okay.
I want to know this prairie is going to be plowed into a cornfield next year if we don't get it now.
But, Ron, what happens when they come back and say they're doing restoration because it's already plowed? And the urgency of making up acres. I mean, is that?
Well, maybe, or maybe the guy that won't sell it or something.
Well, but that's a parcel versus a program, and we're trying to do more programs than parcels, so it's going to be hard to answer this question. I mean,
it's always been on there, hasn't it? Haven't we always had that urgency factor?
Oh, it has, and it's never been effective.
No,
yeah.
That's provided.
I mean, you know, there's a
well, and that's
sort of a big picture question of are they tearing apart the prairies to plant corn or aren't they? I mean, we just all probably heard that the price of agricultural land has fallen 5% because the corn market goes to hell, and nobody's digging up prairies anymore. And so it's a macro question, and we're trying to make it a proposal question. And it's rare that the proposal itself, given that we are asking for the proposal 15 months before the funding's available, is going to have recognizable huge urgency.
So you don't think there should be anything on there for urgency?
Well, I'm talking it through. You know, but I don't know how effective the urgency criteria is to us. I mean,
it makes
great sense, but I don't know that it's an effective criteria for us.
It's recognized in how many points we slapped on there, if you can notice that. I mean, it just seems like we shouldn't eliminate it as a possible consideration.
It's a talking point for us internally, perhaps. And I'm okay with leaving it. It's a weird deal. It's not like, you know, bring us the proposal and we'll give you the money in 30 days.
Well, that's our program.
I understand. That's why it's a weird question.
It is. I like the question.
Can the urgency, and so the, I think some of this started when we had programmatic urgencies, like CRP was expiring, or someone had a funding source that was going to go away, or corn was at $2.50 a bushel instead of $8, and if we don't hurry up and do something at $8, we're never going to get it. But like David said, it takes a year or two before we have the money available to a person anyway.
We're not going to go back and take the money away if something changed.
I think everybody needs to
remember what these criteria are for.
I like the question. I just was saying that you could. It's okay to talk programmatic urgency too. There's all sorts of different urgencies. So
I think we should leave it on there.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah. But recognizing that it's
and some of them might be. I mean, even urgent, knowing, you know, the snail's pace that this goes at. But Marsh Lake, lining up the funding for Marsh Lake was, you know, that was some critical timing. So it might be urgent versus critical. Maybe that's part of it, too. Urgent, critical timing needs, something like that. If it's got to line up with a federal program, it's got to line up with, you know, who knows what.
And that's why I said timing or opportunistic urgency.
Yeah.
I think it's same thing. Okay. Then we're down to uses science-based strategic planning and evaluation model. That's related. It touches on some of the stuff we've already talked about. It's an existing criteria. I think it's an important one that we have science-based in there somehow.
I think it has to say science-based targeting and planning.
I'm fine with that.
You didn't recombine this?
We did do this already.
That's tied in on the bottom.
Well, you combined it, but then we... You know.
I just feel that strongly about it.
Well, and it has to do with... I don't really have a problem with asking the same question a bunch of different ways, either, if it's an important enough one that it can get you to the right answer.
It's like a Myers-Briggs test.
That's exactly what it is.
We did rewrite this question, Art.
Yeah. Amanda has a language? Excellent.
Uses science-based targeting that leverages or expands corridors and complexes, reduces fragmentation, or protects areas identified in the Minnesota County Biological Survey.
Well,
here
that's
we
a
go.
Thing of beauty.
Thank you, Amanda.
Okay. All right, then we're down to the old five. Supplements and does not substitute customary usual activities or funding sources. That was a new one the last time, 2 years ago. And it was in recognition of the statutory or the constitutional language.
Can I just ask? Is there what wouldn't get points for this? I mean, it's just hard for me to imagine how I would say, oh no, I'm getting money from the Outdoor Heritage Fund. That's how I'm getting it. I mean, this is such a hard thing to be able to evaluate, and it's either. It is or it isn't. I mean, if you answer yes to this and say yeah, I can get money from this is totally not it's supplanting what the Outdoor Heritage Fund money is using for, then you wouldn't get the money. You understand what I'm saying? It's not.
Yeah, in my exercises and cogitations and going through doing this,
mm-hmm.
I looked at each program and how it had been funded in the past. Had it been general funding? Had it been bonding? Was it a nonprofit? Was this supplementing what they already did? or was it not? And I had my own way of breaking that out. Now, to a certain extent, this is all going to be supplementing whatever happened before. The way that you can really measure it is to say, it used to get this much money from a different source, and now it gets zero from that source.
And
we're not
a,
doing that.
It's a legislative auditor.
It's a legislation.
I can't, even if somebody wrote something, I mean, what am I going to do? Go and investigate spending over the last 10 years?
When we went through this process with the facilitator 2 years ago, we decided to put it on there just so that it was a kind of an awareness question that we were looking at it, but we don't have a way of really addressing it.
And so we did those changes on the certification, and maybe it's just a certification question too, when they submit it. This cannot be used to supplant.
That's all right with me, for sure.
It's eligibility, almost.
Ineligibility.
Yeah. Right, yeah, how you get through the gate.
Because I don't know how to evaluate it.
Right.
It's an impossible question.
Okay, so we'll strike that one.
Awesome.
Then proposal outcomes will be maintained over time.
So are you trying to get at the durability of the project, the feasibility of the project?
Yeah, and how it's going to be managed over time.
Commitment.
Right.
Are you also getting at the permanency of things?
I think it could be. I think it could be, definitely. I'm not going to reward a buckthorn removal project as high as I would with something else.
Unless someone says, if you do the initial buckthorn, if you pay for the initial buckthorn, I'm committing to maintaining it.
Right.
Which would mean that the proposal has a plan to maintain outcomes over time.
Right.
That's really what we're having.
Right.
So should it be something like
Proposal
outcomes have long-term
plans.
Durability, and proposer is committed to maintaining over time, or something like that?
What's wrong with just saying it will be maintained over time, and then you move back and say it does have a plan and it is doing that?
Well, I think for me, and I don't know, and maybe it's splitting hairs. Does this even have a good chance first, you know, of being successful? So that durability, once we restore it, there's a good chance that we're going to have a low level of maintenance. Or are we going to be throwing everything we got at it every year?
Would it help you to if we were quantifying some of that? I mean, if you asked us, you know, what is going to be the long term? What are the tails on this in terms of management and the cost?
Right.
So that you could say, wow, it's...
Are you surrounded by reed canary grass?
Right.
Or, you know, and you've got really little chance, or
I want to say just proposal has planned for maintenance over time.
Yeah, because
I want to see the plan. I want to know that there's some concept here that we don't want to buy a 3-year deal.
And maybe the long term, maybe the outcomes.
That's fine or better than that.
Because everybody's going to say, going to come up with maybe a plan and say, yeah. But unless we're asked to quantify it, it's going to be difficult to evaluate the veracity of what we're saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, to give you some means of comparing what is the benefit versus the cost of any particular project, the initial cost and the long-term cost.
Excuse me, I want to interrupt the conversation a little bit. I wanted to acknowledge Representative Hansen joining us today. And we're doing this really casually, and we just ask everybody to come in and sit down. It's more free-flowing than normal, and I know that's not the right way to do things in the legislature, but I think we're making some headway. But would you please come in and address us, or you know, give whatever input or thoughts you'd like us to have in mind?
And I appreciate the opportunity. I don't have too much time because I'm stacked up with meetings. And
thanks for making time.
We're going to be... session is coming very quickly. So
good to see you, by the way.
Thank you. I've been telling people I'm kind of the last one left in my region of the legislature. My peers in Northern Dakota County are all retiring, so I'm the Highlander. So it means I'm a little more tied up and stuff. So a couple things, and I don't know where you're at in that, but if I can give a little bit of input. If I could go to the proposed changes to the call and online application, and I'm betting you've probably already gone through this. But, on number three, and I think in general, both the legislature and the council have tended to sometimes fall into the assumption that we're only talking about game animals. And there are other animals that are not game that I think are important. So when we look at the constitutional language, it says fish, game, and wildlife. And being on that conference committee, we were very clear, the debate was, should it be game or wildlife? And the compromise was game and wildlife. And so when giving, I want to make sure that there's not a prioritization that it's game, mammal, or bird, then fish and amphibian, then non-game, and then other, if that's a prioritization. Make clear it's not a prioritization. And I would put in, pursuant to the statute, put in pollinators, because there's a statutory obligation to deal with pollinators. And maybe I think that you could fund a project that is very intensive for pollinators and may not have a game outcome. So if you could put pollinators in there, that would be great. And that can go somewhere in there. And again, if it's clear that the selections are not a prioritization, but just a list.
Can we read, Rick, what we ended up with on that? Can you conjure that up?
I'm sorry, computer's forcing a restart.
Oh, dear.
No, well, very awkward time.
Yeah,
was it the?
I can tell you, I put that language together, Rick, and certainly there was no prioritization. I just went in order of what the Constitution says, fish, game, or wildlife, so I just reiterated that, basically. And I was looking at some kind of indicator species that whatever this project would typically support. And, you know, they're all interrelated, and the health of one obviously complements the rest. And I think we ended up with a really good one that doesn't limit it, but we didn't say pollinator specifically. That's one thing we did not say.
This is where we were combining number two with the one further down. Was that?
No, it was this one.
Oh, okay.
Proposal identifies indicator species
and quantities.
And quantities this habitat will typically support. And I guess the language in the call and in the application should say site, species, and why you're citing them, such as, or for example.
And Madam Chair, one of the examples I would, we just had a pollinator forum last night, so it's fresh on my brain, but you could have a western prairie-fringed orchid in a prairie complex that's one of the last clusters of that. That would make that prairie acquisition maybe a higher value if you had something that was an endangered species like that. And then the Poweshiek skipperling, where there's literally probably only 200
right.
of those left on the planet, if you have some type of
such as, but not limited to, and then list, you know, a selection of pollinators, of non-game, game, wildlife, so that it's not tipping the scale one way or the other. That's the art of the presenter, you know, and the proposer, to come up with something that, you know, that's a way of us looking at it from a species point of view, that instead of acres, that's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah. You may not need many acres.
True enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think on number four, all potential and allowable land uses is important, because I think that going over how many years we've been talking about that Rainier project, so just putting that in is important.
Good.
I think the getting into some of the specifics, just a couple general things on that don't apply to any particular scoring, but I think I'm picking up from just talking to some applicants and citizens is particularly with the CPL program and the Metro CPL program, I think that many folks view that the requirement that there must be hunting and fishing both is constitutional language, and it's not constitutional language. It says as provided by law.
David, would you comment on that, please?
I'd be happy to.
I'll be right back.
The DNR is actually reviewing the criteria for the CPL to bring it, and I think their direction is to bring it into compliance with the state law. That was a DNR design criteria. It didn't come from the council. So the last communication I had was that they were looking at changing the criteria to be consistent with our language.
I think that's good. Again, going back to some of what we're hearing in terms of refuges, if we think about the Teddy Roosevelt model, that there may be refuges for little bitty creatures, pollinators that are in urban areas that may be far enough away from pesticides that allow them to live. We're going to be seeing probably some habitat work that is for wildlife that's not game, that the only place they may survive could be in an area that's not around the corn vest.
Yeah.
And
there was no resistance from the council to that concept that was talked about by the DNR in our last meeting.
And I think it'd be important when you go through the round to make clear to potential applicants when that change occurs, because I think there are some people who aren't applying because they believe that they do not have
it.
And if I could just add, David, President Hansen, our staff have actually been in contact with a number of potential applicants and had urged them, if they had projects that didn't meet the current requirements, not to apply, but we'll be back in touch with those folks if we change the policy.
The point is that there are a lot of people who know that that's the policy, and therefore they're
right.
Saying I can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we would certainly make an effort to reach out beyond that. But I also just wanted to say for those folks we have specifically talked to, we will definitely specifically reach out to them. But I'd be happy to talk more with you offline if you'd like to.
And then finally, I think looking at restoration and enhancements, if there seems to be a little bit of flattening of land rent values right now, but it's still fairly high. I think there's going to be a conversation at the legislature again about acquisition and related to your filled stuff. For me, you know, I think we've been talking about that for 8 years. So one particular solution is just putting some more into restoration or enhancement or trying to. The discussion of take care of what you got is a powerful motivator with my peers. I don't want to say whether it's right or wrong. It's just a powerful motivator. And I think if we can do some more restoration, that helps in the overall discussion. As a whole,
mm-hmm.
some more restoration. I think as crop prices go down, you're going to see a following of, hopefully, some following land values, which may provide some opportunities in the Corn Belt that we haven't had. You know, in the last 5 years. And if we can, again, leverage some more of the federal dollars coming in that way, I think those type of acquisitions, or both fee title or easement, may become more attractive.
Okay.
More value. So those are kind of some general things. One other piece is, and this is on the requirement of permanently protected land. So can there be, and I think that's a criteria that the council has set, if we're dealing with elk, or if we're dealing with quail, if we're dealing with some unique wildlife that had been a game animal, can we do something where instead of maybe buying the land, because I think with elk it's going to be hard to buy land to restore, to enhance elk, or quail, it's hard to buy land to enhance the quail, of looking at using as a pilot project some type of contractual thing with landowners of maintenance and restoration on private lands with an outcome of them keeping unique flora or fauna. I think probably more support with things like elk or quail, but going back to the Awashik Skipperling or the Western Prairie Fringed Orchid, I know 20 years ago there were landowner agreements to try to keep some of those, and not all landowners designed them. But my point is there a way for using outdoor heritage money that would be a different type of trying to protect some of those species or habitats rather than just buy? Because I think it's going to be hard with some of these species either that are in recovery or trying to have in recovery, how that be hard to buy enough land to make them recover. It would be hard to buy enough land to make Powashik Skipperling, but maybe if you had contracts or long-term agreements or some type of arrangement with landowners that are going on, it's not really an easement either. But I'm just trying to think of, we've been doing this for 8 years. Should we try to do some experimentation as pilots to try to achieve the same outcome if the other tools don't work? And I don't know how you write that up, but I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
The question is, are the other tools not working? Can we not do easements to protect habitat in an area?
I think you're gonna, I think in some areas of the state the landowner resistance is a challenge where people may have something unique, but they're unwilling to do to sell it or to do that. And part of what I'm talking about here is we're seeing changes in land ownership, that the idea of having a farmer who goes into the extension office or the SW, the farmer operator, is rarer and rarer. Often now you may have a trust or you've got a series of heirs that are over and they have an operator. And so do you make getting a deal with all the heirs and then dealing with an operator, you may have a deal with the heirs, but not the operator. The operator changes. And so you have to look at some other mechanism, because you could have an easement that was signed with grandma, and grandma dies, and you've got 10 heirs, and they change operators, and that the new operator doesn't know. So it's not the traditional tool, and I think there might be a need for some creativity in dealing with this, because the reality of what's happening on the ground is I think it gets harder. And then if you have a distributed ownership, you just get one or two that say, I don't want to do anything. or we want to buy it back. I mean, I've been contacted by people just who want to buy back their easement. The heir wants to buy back the easement because they think that grandma was wrong.
That's why you have enforcement.
Right. But I think we're going to, when we're spending the amount of money we're spending, we're going to see more. We need to have more tools with enforcement, and I think as we do enforcement and monitoring and evaluation, you might see some additional opportunity that isn't met with the existing.
It's a great question to ask applicants. What's the level of resistance to getting the work done?
Right.
And is there a need for another tool?
I think, Rick, that's a good DNR question, but that tool has been used way back when we were trying to get wild turkeys started in southeast Minnesota.
Yeah.
We wasn't any buying land, but we, David, I noticed the swear word, we paid for food plots.
Well, we already made a decision on that before you got here.
We paid for food plots. Now, you're facing the same problem in the Northwest with elk. That's the biggest issue. So I don't know if we should be doing that, but DNR, if they want to expand the elk population there, they're going to have to work deals with farmers to pay them for food plots that are just for the elk. And so, I mean, that's nothing new. I totally agree with you that kind of private-public partnership we need more of.
Representative Hanson, and you're so well familiar with it, some of the USDA programs that would do like a short-term contract like a CRP or some of the other programs that pay someone to not mow during the nesting season or to plant pollinator stuff or to leave some unharvested land or I know for a while with the shallow water stuff to till up land and let it not be planted until the migratory species went by and then plant another. I mean, there's those type of things that you're talking about because on some of these, I mean, would you buy 3 counties worth of land in northwest Minnesota for the elk? I mean, because they move and they fly, or not, elk don't fly, but Kipperling does, and you know, and all the rest
terrible
of
them.
But so, I mean, there's a lot of... There's
once a year.
Yeah,
reindeer fly.
That's right. But David, I think it's the thing of there's probably all sorts of partnerships that could be available that could leverage federal funds or producer-led efforts or whatever that could be a whole kind of contracts is kind of what you're kind of getting at that have requirements that the guy has to do something or he's going to pay back the money. So it's not just giving him free money and do whatever he wants. But
my concern is if you've got township and you've got 10 owners in the township and 3 don't want to sell and you know, 4 won't talk to you but other 3 are willing to do a deal, if you change it to I'll pay you for temporary use of that, you know, everybody raises their hands but then it goes away like CRP did, we really haven't gained anything there. So it's got to be a model different than we rent the land for a period of time and then it disappears because we know that didn't do us any good.
I hate to cut this conversation off, but we've got to stay on task. I want to get out of here in a half hour, 45 minutes. We still have a ways to go. And as I say, these are really cogent, very important issues that really should be full council discussions.
And, you know, perhaps you want to have the university or Steve Taft come in and talk about land ownership. What you're seeing, or we are, even county assessors, are, because
what
things
like a year ago or a year and a half ago, that's something that we should be looking at, I think, regularly, because it changes.
Yep.
Thank you very much. Okay, so we're through the maintenance over time. Did we come up with some language on that one? David said something that sounded right to me.
Well, the proposal has plans for maintenance over time.
Okay. And then the next 3 should be, or the next 2 should be easy. We're just leading up because they're eligibility questions. And then we go down to the 9 question that was clearly identified as performance indicators and measurements. Performance measurement
performance measures clearly identified and specific plan for measuring, evaluating, and public reporting of outcomes.
I like it.
Of outcomes. Of outcomes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then...
So,
yes.
Just not to belabor, but what do we mean by public reporting of outcomes?
Well, you know, we've got that website, and that has to be... That is fed in...
That's a requirement of our
okay.
system, that you participate in that.
Right.
Or so your project isn't done, or you're not
right.
eligible.
It's the
for
reporting.
Money, so
yeah.
I just question the public reporting as...
So who added that?
I didn't.
Somewhere along the line that got added, and so I carried it along.
But I'm absolutely in favor of performance measures clearly identified and specific plan for measuring and evaluating outcomes. It's the public reporting that seems weird to me. Because we haven't defined...
This was what was on the call before. And we didn't really want it, and it was taken off. Okay. So, yeah, it was taken off, but then it snuck back in the call. Okay, so you're right, David. That's what we did that 2 years ago. We struck that. So, performance measures clearly identified specific plan for measuring and evaluating outcomes.
Well, I'll say this. We need more public reporting of what goes on in this room, I tell you that.
Yeah. You know, and then there was something else I learned just in the last couple of weeks, that the legacy website from is very different what it has on there versus the Lessard Sam's website and what it shows projects that have been done. The legacy website is not up to speed at all.
No, we're far ahead.
But that's when people look it up, that's where they go.
We can't, well, that's a whole other
issue. It's a whole other issue. Okay.
Call
but I didn't
call
even know
them
that.
And make them
yeah.
explain themselves.
Okay, so then we go down to likely to produce and demonstrate significant permanent conservation easement or habitat outcomes for fish, game, and wildlife. And this is
legacy?
Yeah. Bang for the buck.
You combined that, I think, already.
I think we did.
Trying to get you out of here.
Love it. Thank you. Okay, and then 11 is the leverage.
And my only comment there is it feels like a yes or no question.
I think we're missing some language there in the box. That's an incomplete.
Does the proposal have leverage or match funds?
How about using the first sentence and leaving it in? Does the proposal describe what it leverages, effort?
Whether it leverages effort and or the other
yeah.
funds to supplement any OHF appropriation.
Right. Something like that.
Just use the first sentence?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that language got screwed up somehow, I think. Paul? Who knows? All right, and then the last one is about budgeting and whether it's really realistic or appropriate. We said it last time. You can see how it was said. This time we're saying realistic funding requests, including high output administrative efficiency.
I don't know what that means.
Do you like the old language better? Budget is appropriate to accomplish the outcomes described?
Makes more sense to me.
I'm fine with it. Okay. Now what we need is a list of the criteria as we agreed it should be so that we can talk about the points.
I can go make some copies.
That would be great.
Yeah, sure did pretty well.
That would be great.
Fantastic.
Let's just look at the other pages to make sure we're clear on the other two attachments, B and C, in the meantime. We're moving from C, we're moving 2 and 3 into attachment B. And other than that, I think it's pretty clear, unless anybody has any changes they'd like to make.
I have just one question.
Yes, sir.
about number four?
On
the
on B or C?
On B.
Okay.
Because we had this before. David and I have been discussing food plots in the gentleman.
Yes, very civilized.
And, you know, the trails thing is an issue that we all felt authorized to be able to set them. And I guess if you want to know if there's food plots, I got no problem, except I'm not sure that's our responsibility to get into how the land is managed. Because food plot is definitely could be under the title habitat. But be that as it may, what I needed to know is if the applicant says yes, they intend to put food plots, is that a negative? And would you score it less? Because
we don't have a criteria for it, so there's no score.
There's no score.
No.
So you would do that in your heart.
Kind of.
You do want to do that.
But I wrote up something on trails and food plots. You know, I'm still not convinced that as a group we can't come to a slightly better place on food plots. We're never going to agree completely, but it's so wrong to me to think that if we're going to do food plots, we allow two-thirds of the harvest to go away, so there's no benefit to wildlife at all. I mean, if someone wants to do a food plot, which is there for habitat as you understand it, it sure as hell ought to be there for habitat. It shouldn't be harvested and taken away. That's wrong.
David, can I... I'm from Southwest Minnesota, Doug from Fox Lake Conservation League, and Randy Markle is my area manager, and he uses food plots. Two things. First of all, I don't think we're harvesting our food plots till the spring. So it's only two-thirds of what's left after a full overwinter. Okay? And I guess the main comment I want to talk about is I'm a newcomer here, and I don't remember if it was four or five counselors that gave me 0 points on that criteria, because I checked a box. And I don't know if that's fair to me. I'm not going to own the land. It's the DNR is going to own the land. And I was judged by a box and got 0 points. And we fell out of the line, but we got back in because...
Because there was a discussion.
Right.
And that's what this is all about, is getting us to discuss.
And I just...
Yeah, no,
I don't want to be judged.
We don't have a criteria for it, and we have not. This is something that we're going to continue to talk about, whether it's mentioned in the call or not, because someone's going to ask the question, and I'd rather be forthright that that's going to be a topic. So that's why I'm putting it. Well, I'm in favor of putting it on there. I'm very much in favor of talking about trail use and what sort of trail use. We've gotten in deep doo doo before for not understanding what the real, you know, what's going to be permitted on this. We want to know all of it, and food plots is only one part of it. So I would, and you're not going to be any more disadvantaged than all of DNR or any other acquisition. So, you know, the discussion is there. We're not going to squelch that conversation. You're not going to get in or out because of it. And I don't know, Doug, if you were here to begin with, that we're making it abundantly clear this time by adding that these criteria are hearing criteria. They're not allocation criteria. It's to get you to come and make a presentation, basically. Then we use the criteria as we move forward in our discussions with that and all the other information that's been garnered to make a recommendation as a whole for an allocation amount. So I wouldn't be too... is it a subject of importance? Absolutely. But it's not going to either make or break you. Does everybody feel that's fair?
I think it's fair as long as everybody understands that if it's not in the criteria, we're not evaluating on it.
We're not.
Well, if you are, but you are.
That's why I have a... I think it's in Pandora's box.
Right.
I mean,
but if you feel that food plots don't provide the habitat value as, say, native prairie or something, then you will, as a council member, score it accordingly, or when you go to allocate, your priorities will be, I want to do these projects before I do the food plot. I mean, it'll all
But I think it's important that everybody knows what will happen on the property, so that
I think
you don't get
along with that. You know, even if folks aren't in favor of food plots, I mean, typically when you're doing a restoration project, I mean, the sum of the whole, you know, is important. And I think, you know, if people are being eliminated, projects, really great projects are being eliminated because there is that, even though maybe not a checkbox, there's a checkbox in a brain somewhere. You look at those prairie acres that aren't being restored because one portion of it might have a food plot. I just think that's missing out. I mean, it's the good of the whole. I just have a hard time with it. So I think you're right. It's not a criteria, but it is.
As anything.
One part. Well, I think possibly the answer is a case by case for David, except because he's got some concerns. But another case would be a project in southwest Minnesota that says food plots, knowing full well that food plots are critical for winter survival of deer down there. There's no food otherwise. And so you can understand that, and we can go from there.
Don't harm us.
Yeah,
we don't kill the spring.
They told you. Yeah.
Okay, you don't kill the spring, but I don't think DNR is committed to not killing until the spring. Their current practice is until a new manager shows up and changes the rules. And what I'm saying is let's establish the damn rules so that we don't wake up to someone saying, well, there wasn't a farmer that would do it, so we just...
Okay, I'm going to cut this off because it's in there, it's been in there, and if it's not in the call in black and white, somebody's going to ask it anyway. So I don't see any harm with being upfront about it.
Yeah, me either.
Okay, so now we've got, thanks to Amanda, this list of criteria, and we can either go down this thing and total up what these all add up to, or Joe and I can do it afterwards, whatever is your pleasure. You know, the first one is kind of like the readability. Does this whole description make sense to you?
My only point is it's worth a lot more than what you get.
Okay, so let's hear it.
I think it's more equal in criteria than just a fraction.
Yep, I hear you. So what would you like it to see? What would you like to see there?
Well, we have 11, so it's a 9.
I'd say a 5.
7.
I see your 7, and I range to a 6. Okay. Let's go 7. Let's just put it on there just so that we have something to work on. Proposal addresses priority actions, outcomes, this is a big one.
Can I just offer a possibility?
Do you want to start with the big ones? And
no, I want to say that there's 11 questions, there's 100 points. Why don't we just say 10 first and then work between 10 for everybody and then work down to 100?
Up and down?
Yeah.
All right. That's one way to do it. So we have 110 points right now.
And now we've got to take 10 out.
Yeah.
We've got to take 20 out and reassign 10.
Right. But for whatever way, we have to get rid of 10.
Okay. So we just got rid of 3.
Yeah, so 7 to
there we go.
And I would get 2, like 15. Let's just run down them. And
I was going to say that should be 20. I think that's a really big deal.
Okay, 20. And habitats that have value for wildlife, severe extension, list all the species. 15? 10? What?
That's a 20 also. 15 anyway.
Okay, let's just do it that way. addressing habitats value for wildlife, greatest concern. Oh, that's a duplicate.
Yeah.
Awesome. We only have 10 questions.
Or are we missing 4?
Yeah, good question.
One?
4 is science-based, isn't it?
How did you find that? I can't even read mine anymore.
Science-based is in 7.
Yeah. Well, we're now 6.
Mm-hmm.
we combined like
they're all there.
I think they're all there.
They're all there. We just have 10
copied it.
The targeted species.
We're okay.
Yeah.
We don't want 3, right?
Yeah, scratch 3.
Or 4.
Well, we like 4 because it says targeted.
I have 100.
How much are we going to give line 4 right now? 20?
I have 100.
15? 15? indicator species.
I have 10.
10. Degree of timing?
I have 5.
5. Science based?
5.
I'd give it more. Where are we at? 10. 10. What do we have if we go 10 all the way down then? 7, 20.
Well, depends. Yeah, you're over.
I'd give less leverage, see? I'd take it away. Take it away from there. I'd give it a 5. What do we get if we go 7, 20?
17 and 20.
What if we went 7, 20, 15, 10, 5, 10, 10, 9, 5, 9?
Can you say that slower?
7, 20, 15, 10, 5, 10, 10, 9, 5, 9. What does that come out to be?
So why isn't leverage important?
So I just put those down so we got 100 and let's tweak them out.
Okay, so my question is, why isn't leverage an important criteria?
I think it is important. I just think it's very difficult for some groups, like, for instance, Fox Lake.
I think they should get something for it, but I don't think it's as important as a lot of the other ones.
So my way of thinking about it is, someone comes to the table and says, I want to do a land acquisition project and I'll put up 40% of the money from other sources. And they're compared to someone who's doing a project 3 miles away that's bringing no leverage to the table. Mm-hmm. Which one do I want to fund? Which one is going to get
difference.
What's going to get more conservation done?
Well, then you'll use that
then
in your allocation.
Then you'll use those points.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully the outcome, if the outcomes are the same, they're both great outcomes, right? So that's the points that are, if they're exactly the same.
My point is that leverage makes a difference in taking it down to 5 points.
When it comes time
10.
To allocate, it would reflect what you decide to allocate.
Right.
I would just argue for more points.
Okay, so you want to go 7 to that one? And 7 on the next one, or where do you want to take? Do you want to go 7 and 9, 7 and 8, go 9, 9?
Do I hear going?
We can do this. We can do this all day. Yeah.
Can I do? Read my list.
Read it.
Number 1 is 10. Number 2 is 20. Number 3 is 15. Number 4 or 5, whichever you. No, that's out. Number 5. Is 10. Number 6 is 5. Number 7 is 5. Number 8 is 10. Number 9 outcomes, is 10. Leverage is 10. And last one, number 11, is 5. And that equals 100.
I like most of them, but I would flip flop the last two. And I would say that the science based targeting is more important than a 5. But, you know, we're going to do this again on the 3rd.
Well, it'd be very nice to come in with something that this group is recommending versus saying...
That's right.
I'm all right with Ron's, with just one potential, and that would be to take possibly 5 points off of number 2 and put it down to science-based targeting.
Okay, I'll go on with that.
I would give less to number 1. I'd give it a, yeah, see,
So, Julie, you're saying 10, 15?
Yeah.
15, 10, 5, 10. 10, 10, 10, 5?
Yeah.
I would flip-flop the last two.
I like the last two where they are.
Do you?
I do.
Okay. I'm overruled.
No, it's just my opinion.
No, we just have to get, something.
Yeah, let's go with
it's
that.
Kind of arbitrary.
Right. Back up.
I wanted to contribute to that.
Check the math.
And using this allocation here, there's 50 points, total of 50 points goes to the fish, game, and wildlife benefit type criteria, and then the other 50 points are the budget and how clear it's written. So half of it's wildlife.
That's good.
Because it should be habitat.
Yeah.
It's not hurtful.
No, it's good.
I do think it's better than what we had.
I like that it's 10 questions.
Okay.
Or, I mean, the fewer, the better. Especially because there's still other things that they have to fill out and submit.
And we're going to ask them questions.
Yeah.
This is just a, is this good enough for us to listen to? This is really about getting familiar with the proposal and answering the question, should we be hearing it or not? It's not about, ultimately, this one's better than that one because it got a higher score.
It's hearing criteria, and it's a conversation starter.
That's right.
Right.
And it forces all of us to read the proposals, which, I'm aware that in the LCCMR process, there are some members in the past who relied on others to read the proposals for them and then came to the discussions unprepared, and we don't need to do that.
Feedback?
Any other comments? For the good of the order, and thank you very, very much, because this is not fun or easy. Thank you very much.
Thanks.